Good morning, church family. It's good to see you this morning. It's a little cooler outside, which feels great. As an Alaskan, I'm praising God for that. Cooler weather. We're going to go ahead and worship the one true King this morning. So let's stand, and we're going to pray right before we go into worship this morning. Dear God, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for this morning, and we are expectant of what you will do this morning. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship.
It was my till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide.
Amen. Please go ahead and have a seat. Thank you, worship team. Welcome to Discovery Community Church. We're so glad that you chose to worship with us here today. My name is Bobby, and I'm going to just talk about some brief announcements. You can find out all about who we are as a church and what we're up to here in this summertime inside of our welcome folder. You're going to find one of these What's Happening inserts inside there. So I want to encourage you to take a look at that. We've got a lot going on this summer that are allowing us to be community and connect with community. And last week, we had an event, and I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to invite Elizabeth Nolan up to share some story about what happened there last week.
Hello, hello, Discovery. Wow, we had such an amazing turnout last week. I want to thank everyone who showed up. Thank you. We had over 180 people show up to that event last week.
Wow, that's awesome.
And I don't know if you don't know what we're doing this summer, if you haven't been here, we are hosting a number of events this summer in hopes of creating a safe place for our community to come and meet their neighbors, meet Discovery, and maybe even meet Jesus. And the block party was our first attempt at that, and I think it was a massive success.
Yeah.
So thank you for everyone who showed up, and a huge shout out to all of our volunteers who made that happen.
Yeah. Thank you.
Our volunteers did everything from setting up our chairs to bring us our delicious food that was cooked, and truly every part of this would not have been possible without Discovery's amazing volunteers, so thank you once again. But I am here to announce our next coming events. A lot of you know that Disco Fest Day Out is coming. That'll be next Sunday, but I am here to get you excited for our first event coming in August. On August 10th, at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, we are having a family movie night.
Awesome.
And we are finally ready to announce what that movie is. If I could get a little drum roll, please. Our family movie night will be The Wild Robot.
Oh, yeah.
If those of you have not heard of The Wild Robot, it is a beautiful movie that came out last year, both visually and story-wise. I think it is very fitting for Discovery's mosaic message. It is about found family, working with people that you normally wouldn't get along with, and using your gifts to help others. This is an occasion for the whole family, so please bring your family, your friends, your neighbors, and this will be a truly celebratory time. If you have any questions about our upcoming events or would like to volunteer, I will be at that table out after service. We have sign-ups and a couple of different ways for you to get involved. And I think lastly, if you volunteered last Sunday, we do have a lost and found box that will also be at that table if you are missing extension cords, glasses. We've got a couple of things. But guys, I'm so excited to keep going on this summer, and thank you for all of your involvement. Have a good one.
Thank you. Thank you. And Elizabeth, thank you. You are a testament to what happens when we just say yes and lean in. So thank you so much for your heart and for that amazing event last week. Thank you. Yes, please check that Lost and Found. It's turning into Home Depot, so make sure you go and make grab your things. Hey, next weekend we have Disco Fest Day Out, and there's some things that are happening. This is in your, well, some of you are lucky enough to have one of these postcards inside of your welcome folder today, so check that out and see if you're a big winner of one of these postcards. And if you are, we even if you're not, we'd love to have you let us know that you're going to be there. There's a QR code on the back. This also gives you an opportunity to let us know if you're going to bring any items or want to volunteer. We also want to make space for you if it's on your heart. I know I said last week that we would be doing baptisms here, but we're going to be doing baptisms out at Steel Lake Park. So if it's on your heart for you to be a part of that, please let us know. I'll tell you, last year we did that. We did baptisms out at Steel Lake Park, and there was just a group of Christians on the banks of the water, and all around us, the whole park kind of paused to see what's going on over there. There's something that happens when Jesus' people get together and lean into what he's doing in the lives of his people. Amen. So we'd love to have you there next week. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to allow our amazing worship team to lead us in worship. Then I'm going to come up, offer the word today, and then we'll get you off to your week. All right, with that, I'll turn it over to our worship team. Y'all pray us in. Let's do it.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we get to be gathered here together. We thank you for the amazing success of community that happened last week. And we thank you for the amount of community and outreach that we're going to be doing in the future. We pray for volunteers, that people will see this as an opportunity to step into somewhere where they may not have stepped before, to step into a different level of servanthood, into community, and fellowship with one another. God, we thank you for all of these amazing blessings, for all of these people here today. We know that each and every one that is here for a purpose. You woke them up this morning. You helped them battle whatever it was that was convincing them not to come today, whether it was tiredness, whether it was grumpy kids, whether it was the fact that it's colder today or that it's too hot still. We thank you that each person overcame whatever it was that was on their hearts this morning and on their minds to be here with you and in community with one another. In your name we pray, amen. If you want to go ahead and stand and join us in worship.
In the darkness we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophet. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
Praise the Father. God, you are the King of Kings. You are worthy of all of our praise this morning. God, work through us. Work through us this morning. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, our Savior. I believe in God, our Father. I believe in Christ, the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of our judge and our defender, suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe, the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints union. Holy Church, I believe in the resurrection, when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Glory to your name, God. In a world, in a day and time where there's so many things competing for what's true, We are grateful that we can believe in what Jesus has done on the cross for us. That wherever you find us today, it is done. It is finished. Help us, Lord God, to lean into what we say we believe and to find the truth of what we believe in you. Help us to avoid the noise. Help us to structure our hearts, our time, to rest in your truth that we can believe in what you've done. Shape us, God, from the inside out. Help us to look peculiar. Help us to be salt and light in a time that's desperately unflavorable and dark. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your seats. Thank you, worship team. Yeah, we can give them a round of applause. It's like y'all saw my notes. You knew exactly what to sing. I appreciate that. Welcome to Discovery Community Church again. My name is Bobby. For those of you who we haven't met, I'm the Director of Care and Community here, and I'm happy to be with you again this week, bringing God's Word. Our pastor, John Fredericks, he's taking some time to rest, and he'll be back next week as we continue in a series called Believe. We're exploring the truth that what we believe matters. What we believe matters in how we perceive the world, how we perceive ourselves and the people and circumstances around us. We've been talking in this series about belief systems or our worldview, and how that belief system and worldview impacts how we navigate life and relationship with God. We're spending this summer talking about what Jesus' people have believed for thousands of years. We're unpacking healthy Christian beliefs through a survey of the Christian beliefs found in the book of Romans. Last week, I continued our series by discussing believing God, specifically believing that God's character, heart, and purpose is knowable. Believing that God is a righteous judge of our shortcomings that are called sin. We discussed the reality that believing in God requires us to hold space for believing that God has a wrath towards sin. And we explored the truth that God, in his goodness, made a way to remove his wrath against us through his son Jesus. And that's where we pick up today in our series called Believe, with a sermon called Believe Jesus. As I mentioned last week, you can find all about the beliefs we hold on to as a church here at Discovery by attending All In. This is a two-week seminar that where we discuss what we believe and how we as a church put those beliefs into action. We trust that those beliefs are biblical, and we've listed the scriptures that correspond with our beliefs on the About page of our website. So if you want to know what we're about, visit our website, come to All In. By stating our beliefs, we hope it helps guests and members of Discovery understand what to expect from the church and how they can partner with us as we live out those beliefs. Here's what we believe about Jesus at Discovery. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is co-equal with the Father. Jesus lived a sinless human life and offered himself as the perfect sacrifice for the sins of all people by dying on a cross. He arose from the dead after 3 days to demonstrate his power over sin and death. He ascended to heaven's glory and will return again someday to earth to reign as King of kings and Lord of lords. What we believe about Jesus is vital to our salvation. Our faith depends on what we believe about the entirety of who Jesus is. We can't believe in his resurrection but not believe in him being born of a virgin. We can't believe that he forgives sins but not the sins of those who, by the world's standards, do despicably evil things. We can't believe that he is the Son of God but not believe that he is God. I've been curious this week. I've been thinking through this sermon series and this topic. I've been thinking about where our beliefs in Jesus come from. Of course, it comes from the Bible, yes. That's what we should say, but if we're honest, where do our beliefs come from? Where do our beliefs about Jesus come from? I wonder if our beliefs about Jesus come from the cultural influences that shape our world. The broken, microwave, opinion-filled world. I've been wondering if our beliefs about Jesus come from our politics, or our deconstruction of the faith, or influencers, or our meemaws and mamas. Perhaps what you believe about Jesus comes from the hurt, pain, and shame you've caused or you've been exposed to. You see, if that's where our beliefs come from, we get to hear and make sure we believe in the fullness of the gospel, which Christ, God in the flesh, is the central focus. I have two key scriptures for us today to dive into, and I pray that it lands well in your hearts to help us lean into what we believe about Jesus. Here's that first passage, Romans 1, 3 through 4. Concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So concerning his son, whose son is referenced here? God's son. Okay, got God's son. But Paul is also saying that, so Paul is saying that Jesus is God's son, and then he says in Romans 3, who was descended from David according to the flesh. Well, David is not God, but Paul is saying that Jesus is a descendant of David according to the flesh. So what's going on here? What we believe about Jesus matters. If we keep reading carefully, we get more context. Romans 4, 1, 4 through 6. And was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. There's so much truth here about Jesus. We see that Jesus is declared the Son of God. He was resurrected from the dead, so that means he died. And he's capable of extending grace and expecting obedience on a global scale. What we believe and the source of what we believe matters. Let's dive deeper into the source of our beliefs in Jesus, God's holy word, and examine who Jesus is and how we can live lives that honor him as Savior, Lord, and friend. Some points I want to make today. That my first point is Jesus is fully God. He's fully God. The scriptures capture the miracle of the birth of Jesus. During this world-changing event, the angels announce the birth of Jesus by proclaiming in Luke 2:11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This term Lord is used over 6,000 times in the Old Testament to refer to God. And these angels are proclaiming that the Lord himself is being born. Colossians 1:19 tells us, "For in him, in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." Jesus is part of the Trinity, the three persons of God. We see Jesus at the beginning of creation, a distinct person, though fully God. In John 1:1-5, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." If we were to read this and overlay the name of Jesus on the scripture, it would read like this. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Jesus. And without Jesus was not anything made that was made. And Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We see in Scripture that Jesus even puts himself in mortal danger of the religious leaders of the day by proclaiming the truth that he is God in John 8. He's having this conversation. So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" And Jesus says to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Jesus says in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Lots of Bible verses here that point to Jesus being fully God. Why does this matter? Why does it matter that Jesus is fully God? Sin is why it matters. We spoke last week about God's wrath toward sin and that the penalty, the earned outcome, the wages of sin being death. The only one who could pay the full penalty of the brokenness of sin is God, and he chose to do that through the person of Jesus. Jesus' death on the cross, Jesus' resurrection, Jesus' ascension are only possible because of his deity, because he is God. This is what Christians have believed for thousands of years. What do you believe? Friends, if Jesus is not God, his death would have been meaningless. His resurrection would have been impossible, and the penalty of sin would still be on all of us who have accepted him as Christ and Savior. The gift of salvation only works if Jesus is God. Amen? My next point is Jesus is fully man. Jesus is fully man. Jesus was like us. Consider the following stages of human existence I'll refer to as shelter, launch, and life. Shelter involves us being born. Everyone here in this room and everyone watching online was born. If you didn't get here that way, let's talk. You are exceptional. Watch this. We're born into a family that we don't choose. We're born into an environment that we can't control. We're born into traditions and cultures which influence us and become the mortar of the foundation which establishes our lives. We're on autopilot. There's nothing for us to do in shelter but be loved and cared for, or survive the lack of love and care that's so important at this critical stage of our development. The next stage is launch. We all launch. Some of us have failed to launch. That's okay. You're not here to get judged. We're all here for launch. We learn based on what's taught or not taught in shelter, and part of that learning is failure. Failure creates the patterns and the memories which shape our personality and prepare us for the next stage, which is life. In this stage, we get to wrestle with our temptations or struggle or indulge in the habits that we formed or learned from the previous stages. Are you with me? In the life stage, we have fully shaped our preferences, and failure and learning continue. Jesus lived all of these stages. He was born. Matthew 1:18 tells us, "Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." This wasn't a random act of the Holy Spirit. This was to fulfill prophecy. In the Old Testament, Isaiah 7 tells us, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Anybody know what that means? God with us. "He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good." and learn to refuse the evil and choose the good he did. Jesus had an epic launch journey. No surprise, he's Jesus, right? He's going to nail it. Luke 2 tells us, after 3 days, they found him, a young Jesus, in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understandings and his answers. Verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. His gifts were developed, and he was in a place of learning at one time in his life, just like us. And just like us, he got hungry and thirsty, just like us. He had a full range of emotions. He had friendships. He would come to know enemies. He would be tempted, and yet throughout his entire life, Jesus did not sin. That's where he's different from us. After John baptized Jesus, the book of Matthew says this is what happens. Matthew 4:1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus' temptations can be organized into three themes that we all face as humans. Three themes we all face. Lust of the flesh. Matthew 4:2, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. How many of you would be hungry after 40 days and 40 nights of not eating? You're better people than me, I'd be hangry. I would have a lot of attitude about being hungry. And the tempter came to him, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Three themes, all common to humans, the pride of life. Matthew 4:5 says, then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Three themes we all face as humans. Lust of the eyes. Matthew 4:8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan. Side note, I think sometimes we entertain the enemy too much, and we just need to tell him to go. Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. In each case, Jesus responds with the truth of God's word. He did not sin. He did not compromise. We have a lot to learn about his example here. Jesus is fully man. But why does this matter? Well, it matters because it allows him to be our bridge. Jesus is the bridge. Because Jesus is fully God and fully man, he has the ability to be our Savior, Lord, and friend. Praise God. He is uniquely capable of addressing the sin within us while bringing a compassionate understanding of what we go through as we navigate the brokenness of this world. Your hurts and heartaches, he knows. Your fears and doubts, he knows. Friends, your struggles and temptations, he knows. Hebrews 2 tells us, therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. He knows and loves us so much. He loves you so much. Even in the midst of that thing, he loves you. The proof is in the life that he lived. The proof is in the words that he spoke, in the life that he laid down, and the power he showed in conquering death forever so that we could be with him forever. Amen? Jesus is the bridge. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time." I want to put us in position to live into what we believe about Jesus. What we believe about Jesus should be dictated by who Jesus, fully God and fully man, says he is throughout the Word of God. So I want to offer three ways we can daily lean into what to what Christians have believed about Jesus for thousands of years. We're in a day and time where more and more people will choose to identify with the Jesus who best meets their definitions. And this is dangerous. It's dangerous, and it's a rebellion against what God has ordered in his plan in sending Jesus in the first place. I'm going to read a chunk of scripture, and then we're going to break it down. Romans 15, 1 through 13. Paul writes, "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, 'The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me.' For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, 'Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name.' And again it is said, 'Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people.' And again, 'Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him.' And again, Isaiah says, 'The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him, the Gentiles have hope.'" That's us, by the way, if you didn't know the Gentiles. This is good news for us. Amen. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." What we believe about Jesus matters. What we believe about Jesus as our Savior matters. As Jesus people, like the other Jesus people before us, what we believe that we are in desperate need of a Savior. We believe that the wages of sin is death, and because of what Adam did in the garden, we are under the penalty of sin and have duly earned our wages. We believe that due to sin, we have been separated from the presence of God, but God in his goodness made a way, and that he sent Jesus to take our sins away and bring us into right relationship with him first, and into a family in right relationship with each other second. Romans 15, 3 through 4, we just read it. "For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, 'The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me.' For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." People were waiting for the arrival of the Messiah for a long time based on what scripture foretold of Jesus. The Jews expected Jesus to arrive as a political liberator. Jesus came to liberate souls from the penalty of sin. We believe Jesus is able to be our Savior from the penalty of sin because he is fully God. 1 Peter 2 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Paul talks about reproaches. I don't use that word every day, so I had to look it up, see what it meant. And reproaches are disappointments or failings. So when Romans 15:3 talks about the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me, it's pointing to the disappointments and failings that were once yours and mine's now belong to Jesus. By what he has taken on, in his wounds, we have been healed. We have been freed from the penalty of sin. If we believe he is Savior, we should walk in that salvation by living in harmony with one another. Romans 15, 5, 6, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What we believe about Jesus matters. What we believe about Jesus as Lord matters. Each of us was born with the stamp of the sin nature. What do you mean, Bobby? No matter what family you're born into, no matter the success of the launch in life that you live, we've all been living based on our preferences, based on our customs, based on our culture and our desires. If we're going to do what Jesus' people have attempted to do for thousands of years, we cannot only believe in Jesus as Savior, but we must obey him as Lord. We don't use terms like Lord every day, unless you play Dungeons and Dragons like I do. Otherwise, you're like, what does that mean? What does Lord means? Well, Lord is both a name and a title. Lord communicates authority. Lord communicates control. Lord communicates power. If we're living the same lives as we did before Jesus became our Lord and Savior, we should question if we believe or have received who Jesus says he is. Romans 10, 9, 10 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We believe that giving Jesus control, authority, and power over all aspects of our lives are part of living into the gift of salvation. We can trust him as the Lord of our lives because he's fully God. So what do I do with my life with Christ as Lord? What shapes my behaviors and attitudes about my fellow man? Am I a servant of God, or do I continue leaning into the launch in life phases I've experienced with my preferences for the lifestyle and attitudes that serve me best? Friends, living life with Christ as Lord looks different. By his example, he became a servant of the Jews by being the atoning sacrifice of sin in order to represent God's truthfulness and to carry out the scriptures and extend that mercy and sacrifice to you and me. Romans 15, 7 says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. What we believe about Jesus matters. What we believe about Jesus as friend matters. I don't like letting people down. As much as I coach and teach that failure is a path to learning and growth, I don't like failure. I get down on myself. I get defeated. If I allow myself to stay in that space too long, I start to believe that all my successes are a fluke and my failures are my reality. I'm not seeking sympathy here. This is a testimony of the goodness of Jesus. You see, because when I feel that way in those times, he shows up. He wraps me in his loving arms. He reminds me of his word, his faithfulness, and his truth. He reminds me that no one is good and that I can trust in God's goodness. He reminds me to pray. He sits with me as I read and meditate on his word. He helps me prepare my sermons. He helps me lead worship songs. He helps me love my family. He gives me boldness to share his love with strangers. He is with me. He's my friend. And friends, he's with you and in you if you've accepted him as Lord and Savior. And he sets an example and calls you and me to live into that example. Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. What we believe about Jesus matters. It matters in how we live our lives in him as Savior, Lord, and friend. Our favorite YouTube channel won't express it. Your preferred news media ain't gonna say it. So we've gotta lean into God's word for what we believe, amen? Listen, if you're here and you want to know Jesus as Savior, Lord, and friend, we would love to walk you through that process. We read a minute ago, Romans 10, 9, and 10. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's simple, but complex. It's beautiful. If that's you today, if you would like to know Jesus as your Savior, Lord, and friend, we have these connection cards. And you can simply put in your name, some contact info. We're not going to do anything with that info, but connect with you and pray with you and explain through God's word what it means to give your life to Christ. Perhaps you've already done that and you've gone back into your launch and life phase and you sort of moved away from Jesus and you like to come back into the fold. He is standing with open arms waiting for you. If that's you today, you can fill out one of these connection cards as well. In just a moment, I'm going to pray, but before I do that, I want to let you know what's about to happen. We're going to move into a time of giving back to God. So my friends have some baskets here. They're going to move them around our room. If you're here for the first time, we don't want anything from you. We don't want any of your money. But we love to get to know you. And this connection card is how we do that. We have pens at a table just right outside of this area. If you need a pen, let us know. We'll give you one. But we just want to celebrate. We want to learn more about you and what brought you to this church. If that's you, just go ahead and simply put that into the basket. What you believe about Jesus matters. It matters greatly. And where you find what you believe matters. I just want to encourage us this week to avoid the noise. Dive into God's word. I'm going to pray and then our worship team will come up and lead us in one more song. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for the power of your word, that your word does not go out and come back void. Thank you for the strength of your Holy Spirit that shapes us and leads us and guides us, Father, that pricks our hearts and draws us into desiring to know you deeper. We ask for your blessing in shaping what we believe and in the actions that we take based on what we believe. Help us to trust you as Lord. Help us to release the grip on the things that we want to control. Help us to see you as friend. That you're with us through every moment, that you care for us, and that you desire our best as it aligns with your goodness. Bless every family and household represented in this place. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. When you're ready, will you stand and worship with us?
Just know that there are some technical difficulties going on with the screen right now. But this is one of the songs that we do pretty regularly, so hopefully you can sing along. And if not, Jesus knows what your praises and your prayers are anyways. And, you know, when you mouth watermelon enough, nobody's noticing. It's fine. I can't do that, though. That won't work. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. On me, you have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your oh,
Amen. Just some brief reminders. We have root beer floats over here. I know that's why you came today, to get a root beer float. So there are no non-lactose options. So at your own peril, there's root beer floats there. We would love for you to stick around, even if you don't want a root beer float. We'd love to get to know you more. This is a really special community of believers, and we're happy that you chose to be here today. One other thing, Disco Fest Day Out is going to happen, and so we really want to encourage you to be there next Sunday and celebrate with us. Again, if you want to be baptized, you want to volunteer, you want to bring something, there's a QR code on the back of this postcard. I'm going to stand at the beginning at the door with my postcard if you want to scan on your way out. We love you. We're praying for you. Have a fantastic week. Go with God. Amen. Bye-bye.